some quarterbacks' performances in week one. I think we acknowledged yesterday that quarterback play in week one was down overall, and there was a four-year stretch at one point from 2018 to 2021 in which we saw passer rating across the league was above 90 each season, and it peaked in the 2020 year, believe it or not, 93.6.
Seemed like we were just like getting ready to ride a high of great quarterback play forever.
Last year, this is just QB rating, passer rating, it dipped to 89.1. And before last night's game, or two nights ago at this point, I guess, it was 89.3. So it's basically in week one, believe it, I know everybody's talking about it today, it's actually right on par passer rating wise what we saw all of last season on average.
Sure. So which concerns me in a deep, deep way, where right after the year went where it was Burrow, Mahomes, and Josh Allen, like a 2-year run, I just kind of assumed we were getting ready to hit the resurgence of, oh my God, look how good the quarterback play is going to be in the league moving forward. And the closer I look at it, the more I realize that that is the exact opposite of what is actually happening. How many quarterbacks do you actively think can win a Super Bowl is not better than it was 10 years ago. And I would argue the bottom floor of quarterback play is as bad as it's ever been. Deshaun Watson, Bo Nix, Gardner Minshew, Jacoby Brissett, Justin Fields, Will Levis. I can go on and on. The number of just straight up, I would say, bad quarterbacks in the league right now is a third of the starters. And then for the guys that I thought were going to challenge us, where we were going to have, wow, look at 10 quarterbacks playing at an incredibly high level, none of them have ever matched it. Stafford's getting older. Lawrence has never come up to rise to that challenge. Neither has, and like Stroud is just too young, too early. Maybe you thought Kyler was going to be that guy. Quarterback play is far worse than I thought. Derek Carr might still be, 5 years later, like the 11th best starter in the league. And that is not the position the league should be in, considering how many quarterbacks have gone in the first round of the last 5 years.
Right, but here in Kansas City, like,
great
news.
I'm just saying from a watchability standpoint.
Yeah. I mean,
you're right, for Kansas City. Fantastic.
Even better news. You already knew you had the best quarterback, but if it's, hey, there's only really five or six of these guys that are anywhere in tier two, and then after that, it's just a bunch of tier three and tier four guys. I mean, that's even better news, just talking about from the Chiefs' perspective. I also don't disagree on the bottom five, six, seven quarterbacks. But like Kyler Murray, like, you know, you mentioned his performance, like, That's pretty typical stuff. Like I don't think we need over, oh my gosh, there's a massive quarterback problem in the NFL. Everybody sucks now. Like, I think that's a bit much, but there are
I'm getting close to that. I'm not all the way there.
There are more than just the bottom three. Like, the bottom three is now, I would say, the bottom six or bottom eight.
Ten,
I'll give you that. I think that's true. The bottom is worse than what we've had. But, like, that middle of the road stuff, it's been the middle of the road. I mean, I just mentioned last year, even passer rating wise, the average is the same as what we just averaged in week one. Like, if we're just basing it off of yardage, I mean, I mentioned that on Monday, I think, just off of yardage, yeah. In week one, only two quarterbacks went over 300 yards. So, yeah, based off of that, that's an issue. To me, this is not the same as when we discussed 2 years ago. We're like, oh, my gosh, there's terrible offensive line play in the NFL, and it's a big, big problem and all this, and there's no offensive line talent coming up from college. No, there's plenty of quarterback talent coming out of college. Yeah. Hell, this year, Caleb Williams, you know, we're going to find out about Jaden Daniels as the season goes on. But like, for both of them, like, there's a good chance two of these guys, at minimum, end up being top 15 quarterbacks, I think, in the NFL.
Could be, but like, that's been kind of the story of the last 3 or 4 years. And these guys have all just like, we haven't had the same emergence I thought we would have. Meanwhile, the three best quarterbacks in the league,
CJ Stroud just had the best rookie starting quarterback season ever.
He's probably the exception. And I do want to find out whether or not year two continues to progress that way. Obviously, week one looked pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
But the bottom end is as bad as it's ever been. I just listed all those guys. I mean, think about, and I don't care if it's Justin Fields or Russell Wilson, Justin Wilson, whatever.
But we know both those guys have stunk for multiple years. That's not a new development in week one.
But Bryce Young, you know, like, Malik Will's not that. And I don't know, maybe Sam Darnold will work out. But Daniel Jones, I mean, there is some really horrid. Oh,
I'm with you. But again, you mentioned Daniel Jones. Play. We've known he's stunk for a couple of years. Like, that's not a new, like, Daniel Jones stinking is not a new development.
He was kind of mediocre for that 1 year.
Yeah, we got paid because of it. And the Giants, you know.
I can't.
They needed to do that, and now they're screwed.
We'll see how this year goes, though. But isn't that? It's always been that way, where there's not that much NFL level quarterback talent that
I thought it used
up.
To be better, or at least I thought it was heading in a direction where I thought it was going to be that way.
Yeah,
and instead,
that way,
it's not.
But there's been one good year in the last 5 years, and that's 2020 when Joe Burrow, Tua, and Justin Herbert were picked. But if you look at the other ones, Trevor Lawrence is the only good one from 2021. Nobody from 2022 other than Brock Purdy, who was picked dead last out of all the quarterbacks.
And we're all still like, how good? You know? Well, like, we're celebrating the fact that he might be like the 11th best guy.
I know, but I think we need to, it's not going to change, but I think the conversation around the quarterback position, it's very important. But if you look at, just because Kenny Pickett fakes a slide and Pittsburgh goes 10-2 and he looks great, does not mean it does not mean that he is a first round talent 1 through 32. I know that it's overvalued because it's the quarterback position, but when you look like this year, does Shador look like a number one overall draft pick? No, neither does the offensive line, but Shador doesn't. Carson Beck is fine, but he plays at Georgia, so you really can't tell. And Quinn Ewers, he actually might be the guy that's actually looked the best out of all the quarterbacks this year,
I mean, to that point, though, that it's still projecting at the NFL level. I mean, there's plenty of guys that were great college quarterbacks, and nobody considers them a starting NFL quarterback.
Or that were not that great in college and were ridiculous. Jared Goff did. I couldn't tell you anything about Jared Goff in college, and he's maybe a top 10 quarterback in the league. It's just the way that it tends to go. I don't know why that is.
Yeah, he played at D2 school.
He
didn't play.
No, Goff was at Cal, right?
Cal, Cal.
It's still projecting.
I was getting mixed up with the Wentz.
But I think sometimes we're all guilty when we talk about, like, hey, top 5 or top 10. Like, we call it a top 5 or a top 10 because there's only 10 of them. Like, we're like, how come there's not more guys that are in the top 10? There can only be 10 in the top 10.
I know that they, and they'll get picked in the first round, but you could argue that there is no, in a year, like the year where that Bryce Young was picked, not Bryce Young, but Kenny Pickett. You could argue no quarterback deserved to get picked in the first round, but there's always going to be guys that get picked there. But there should be a year where you look at a quarterback in a class and it's like, this is not a good class. And maybe, and obviously it's not good for the league, but guys, if your team needs a quarterback, you shouldn't just be taking one on a flyer to hope.
Well, in their mind, they're not right. I mean, like, the Broncos drafted Bo Nix. They had a drafted quarterback this year. In their mind, they think they found someone. Like, they're not. It's not like we all from the outside, including myself with Bo Nix, I don't think he's going to be all that good. But in that organization, during the evaluation process, like, they're not telling themselves, we think he sucks, but we're drafting him anyway. They actually think he's going to be really good.
The other part is that I had actually argued now more. I think this is part of my point, Drew. Now more than ever, I do think you can just take stabs at quarterback. What are you going to do? Guess worse than Jacoby Brissett? What? You're going to finish worse than that? But I don't think so. I'd rather improve my life standing than that. And because the lifespan of being a GM or being a head coach in the league is 5 years. How long can you realistically sit on your hands and keep your job?
Yeah, but if you know you're going to lose, if you know that there's not a good quarterback in the class, why would you not? Yeah, you're kind of throwing a year in the tank, but you're preparing your team better. So I know Caleb Williams is an outlier. The situation that Bryce Young inherited is awful. Why not get the team a little bit more ready? So, yeah, you might skip out on Bryce Young. You might skip out on somebody, but you know that when you get a quarterback that's ready, your team is built where you can get a guy like Brock Purdy, and the team's already built good. You just need the quarterback to be fine. You don't have to pay him. You can pay everybody else.
I hear you, but two things. One, Brock Purdy, we all know, is the outlier of all outliers, right? Like, that's not a normal thing.
That's irrelevant, yeah.
The other thing is, when the Panthers traded with the Bears up to get Bryce Young, in their mind, they thought they had the guy. I mean, hindsight, 2020, duh, they should have drafted C.J. Stroud, but I don't think C.J. Stroud would have had the same success in Carolina. Do I think Stroud is better than Bryce Young?
Yes.
Of course I do. Do I think C.J. Stroud would have broke rookie records in Carolina?
No, I think you already know he's a better starter? Yes.
I think we have to remember, though, like, in the Panthers' eyes, they were wrong with their evaluation, it looks like, but they truly thought Bryce Young is the franchise long-term option for them, and he's going to be a star. So we're saying, like, they shouldn't have drafted Bryce Young. They should have built the team and then drafted him. Well, then who are they drafting when they're picking 17th and they're mediocre?
He's saying just take the best defensive end.
You're right. But to me, would you rather not take Miles Garrett than take
hindsight's a hell of a thing, man.
Yes, Drew. But
I think you can. Teams talk themselves into take. Denver might say they love Bo Nix. I think that part of them is they felt like they needed a quarterback, and they're like, you know what, we really like Bo Nix, and he's the best one available. I think in a way you talk yourself into taking a quarterback sometimes more than you actually believe. They didn't have to take it. They could have
start Jared Stidham or Zach Wilson this year.
They could have played Jared Stidham and taken Dallas Turner, and the defense would have been great for whenever they get somebody.
Here's
why
the problem.
Would you take a quarterback at four? I think you talk yourself into, we have to do it now because I have to save my job, more than I'm doing what's best for the
part
team.
Of it.
Sure,
right
that's
part of it. That's but you're
missing
part of it.
Your argument is missing the most key part of all of this, is which you are only truly using hindsight. And even in the case you mentioned, in where Miles Garrett was selected and said, what has that done for the Browns? Nothing. They still stink. They're still one of the worst franchises in the league. The problem exists is the reason why they take these chances is the cost-benefit analysis is so strong. Because when you get it right, you're off the mat. You matter again. When you're the Bengals and you take Joe Burrow, because that year you think you got the right guy, he's your Bryce Young at the top of the draft. When you get it right, you don't stink as a franchise anymore. You don't just win three games. If you get Miles Garrett because it's the year you get Bryce Young, you still stink. Maybe you're two wins better, but if you don't have a quarterback, you're lost anyway.
But I think that you building up the roster to be as good as it is better than, hey, Justin, can you come and save us because the rest of the Chargers team stinks?
But quarterback in the NFL is a saving game. That's the job.
But it hasn't been for the Chargers, for instance. It hasn't been for other franchises where the quarterback is great, but the rest of the team stinks.
Yeah, but if they didn't have Herbert, then imagine how bad they'd stink. They'd be better because they had one better defensive player? Probably not.
I said it last year. The Bengals defense was so bad, it didn't matter if Joe Burrow was the best quarterback in the league. They were not going to win anything because the rest of the team, defensively in particular, stunk.
We saw Cincinnati when they had Andy Dalton. They had some pretty good defenses for him. They won they didn't win a playoff game, right? Is that the story?
Correct.
He was a middle of the road quarterback. Now they have a top five quarterback, and even if their defense is mediocre, they've got a chance to go to a Super Bowl. In fact, that's kind of what we've seen. Like I totally get what you're saying. Like now that we know the result of some of these things, sure. But if each coach and GM had a guaranteed contract, they were told they would not be fired for 8 years, I think teams would consider more what you're talking about. But the reality is that a general manager maybe has six, a coach has like 2.5 years to get it turned around. Like Robert Saleh, they went out and tried to hit the fast forward button by trading for Aaron Rodgers. If they don't make it to like an AFC title game this year, there's a decent chance they're blowing that whole thing up there in New York.
I mean,
you know, if we look at what's another example? Dennis Allen's been in New Orleans for how long? 3-4 years? Has it been longer now? Where's he been at?
I think it's
since Sean Payne got fired. So 3 years.
Something like that.
This year, if they don't make the playoffs, he's getting fired.
Yeah.
Like, so they didn't have an opportunity to sit back and so they tried to take the easier path by getting the established quarterback, which is what you're like. And they traded or they signed Derek Carr because they didn't think he knows in his job. If they would have just drafted a quarterback, maybe he would have lost his. He wouldn't have had the time that's required. He took the easier fix. They almost won the division last year.
I think, and to your argument, the Colts kind of the Colts did the same thing with Phillip Rivers, and then they did it again with Matt Ryan,
and it didn't work either time. Eventually, Frank Reich was gone. Ballard got to keep his job, though, so that counts for something.